here.
The Triple M Footy.
Listen to the fans.
Fan Podcast.
Yes, it is another Triple M Footy Fan Podcast. Talking footy like you talk footy. We're going to chat about round 7, which has been run and won. Legend of the week, of course. We're going to ask who's seen, anyone seen more footy than me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, eh?
This weekend.
Yeah. Pies are impressive. Aaron Norton. Geez, he was impressive. Currently in massive strife. Stephen May on the piss. There is a lot to get through. And we're going to give you our season predictions as we are officially a third of the way through the season. As I say, g'day to you, Rudy Edsel, and g'day to you, Ethan Meldrum.
G'day, Rabs.
How are you going?
How are you going, Rabs?
Good. It's all three of our teams on the weekend. Is that the first time in season?
Probably.
It's nice to start a podcast knowing your team's finally above Carlton. For once.
Yep.
Well, it just sets everything up on such a good note.
It's also nice to start a podcast when two of the three participants, their teams are considered flag, you know, chances. So there you go. That's the two of me and Rabs, not you, Ethan.
Gee, thanks.
Just to underline that
no,
for the listeners.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they might, but they're certainly not considered a chance right now.
Melbourne finally win a game to go 2-5, and you still find a way to peg me down. Like,
yep.
Come on.
Well, let's go positive to start with, Eth, because I can see that you're feeling a little bit
attacked,
and so we'll come back away from that. And we're going to start with the legend of the weekend, Rudy. Friday night's game between Collingwood and Port Adelaide caught your eye for this particular segment.
Yeah, the young fella Kyren Maguire. That was a really nice narrative for Collingwood in the AFL. The young chap, he has terminal brain cancer, and they gave him, he's a massive Pies fan, and so is his dad. They gave him a big pump up on the field, took him off on the shoulders of Adam Treloar and Scott Pendlebury, and the photos of his dad like covering his face with a Collingwood jacket to try and hide the tears was like just brilliant TV. It was so good to watch, and it was really just not, it's nice when the AFL gets that, or the Collingwood,
they do it well,
everyone
don't
gets
they?
It right.
Clubs do that really well.
They do that brilliantly.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the time clubs do that sort of stuff away from the public eye as well. You know, hospital visits and, you know, home visits to really sick people and kids as well. It's they do, that's one thing they do really well.
I mean, Collingwood really didn't have to do anything more than have Kyren run through the banner. That would have made his life. And you know, they went above and beyond. They had Mason Cox kicking for goal with him before the game. They cheered him off the ground. They had him sing the song. They did literally everything they could possibly do.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
It was just brilliant stuff. It just makes you, like, you sort of remember how good his footy. Like,
yeah.
And Nathan Buckley touched on it post-game as well.
It actually makes the game less significant, doesn't it? You know, we are playing a game of footy, and we all take it really seriously, and it's our profession. We spend a lot of time on it, lives on it. To have Kyren and his family in and to share the last couple of days with him and the experience, and the way that our boys handled it after the game was amazing, really, and quite emotional. So that's real life, and it was good to put a smile on the young fella's face.
Yeah, it was really nice to, like you said, to see a smile on the young guy's face, and also his dad, who I imagine is living through hell at the moment. So really good.
What, a three games you saw on the weekend, Raps?
That he was one of the three games I saw. Yeah. Friday night I was spent at Marvel Stadium. Saturday night I spent it at Marvel Stadium, and Sunday I spent it at Marvel Stadium.
Did you have a little nap at Marvel Stadium on Saturday night? Did you just stay over, set up a little a tent? Like Red Dead Redemption, cook yourself some.
No, I didn't. But the second half of the Collingwood Port Adelaide game, I probably could have, and the entirety of the North Melbourne Carlton game, I definitely could have.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask, who was more impressive? Like, what was more impressive, the first quarter, Collingwood's first quarter, or Aaron Norton's second quarter?
I'll always pick individual brilliance over team brilliance, I think. So you can't go past Aaron Norton, even as a dyed-in-the-wool Collingwood fan. To watch Aaron Norton, like, it was one of those games, and it's rarely seen. I think Jeremy Cameron might have done it a couple of times. Wayne Carey did it all the time. But whenever the ball was kicked in his direction inside forward 50, he was marking it.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
It was Tommy Hawkins against Melbourne last year, and that weird Paddy Dangerfield game against Hawthorn.
Yes.
Last year as well. But yeah, it was that, what kind of, you just knew it was like the ball was like sucked by like gravity towards him. That one mark that he took where he just like climbed up the back of the pack and, oh, it was incredible. He took nine contested grabs or something.
I'd suppressed all memories of Tom Hawkins against
Melbourne. Sorry, mate.
But he just had that aura about him.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And he's 19 years old.
I think round 2 or round 3, you might know more. I reckon he did something similar. I reckon he might have taken 4 or 5 contested grabs.
It was his first game because they swung him forward with like 2 weeks to go in the preseason.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, they gave him more preseason saying, okay, you're playing back, and then, oh shit, you're playing forward.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, thanks for all this preparation. Now you're playing forward.
But
and now he's starring.
Oh, mate. And he was taking contested grabs like that quickly that Ash Chua was actually losing. Like, what couldn't actually mark them all down. So in the call for Triple M, the guys are like, oh, what's the world record for contested marks in the game? He's like, well, I'll check. While he was checking, Aaron Norton took another contested grab on the wing. So he said, oh, the record's Wayne Carey with 10. Aaron Norton's just taking his 8th. And I've gone into the cans of Chua and gone, that's actually his 9th.
Yeah.
and like, you could see the rise in
yeah
his it, pants.
It, it literally became
Chua.exe critical error.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was one of those things where by the end of that game, like the game was completely over. The Dogs had won and everyone was just barracking for Aaron Norton to take a 10th contested grab.
But he didn't. I think it was like 8.5 minutes left of the game and he couldn't get one more.
Yeah, he just couldn't get one more. To be fair. Yeah,
like, he was near it, but he wasn't that near it.
It's a bit poetic that Wayne Carey still holds that record.
He takes some of the contested grabs.
But I will say, go back to your original question of who was more impressive, Collingwood's first quarter or Aaron Norton's second. I will say Collingwood's first quarter was ridiculous. They could have been up by 12 goals at quarter time. That game was dead and buried. What does Ken Inkley come out and say at quarter time after that?
I think he goes,
what are you doing?
Yeah.
Just try and keep it respectable. I'll catch you after the final, sorry.
Because they're not a bad team, Port Adelaide.
No, they're not, yeah.
Because after quarter time, the game was basically even. They lost by 39 points. I reckon they were down by 40-something at quarter time, from memory.
Well, they kicked the first 7 or 8, didn't they?
Yeah, Jaden Stevenson. We were there with Tom Beers, who works at Digital Triple M, and he said, today we're going to walk away and say we were at the Marvel Stadium when Jaden Stevenson kicked 12 goals.
Before the game?
When he kicked his first.
Oh,
it
right,
looked
yeah.
like that. It looked like one of those games, but I think Collingwood took the foot off the pedal. Honestly, it sounds stupid, but I think we're running at fourth gear.
Like, the Pies, yeah.
They are.
And it's weird.
Well, you saw what happened when they hit first gear the other night, and it's kind of like they only need fourth gear for most teams. We're just ridiculous.
Yeah, they did it to Brisbane as well. Like, they just ran away with that game and looked completely unstoppable.
The thing that's cool about it is, like, it's the Pies are just like, every now and then a team will be like, oh, look, we're going to measure this exciting new side against the Pies, Brisbane or Port, and the Pies are like, please, we've got this.
Yeah.
Just sit down, be humble.
And the third game, the third game, obviously, I saw was North Melbourne versus Carlton. And as good as North Melbourne were, you have to feel for Carlton fans because they honestly thought, for a first time in a long time, they went to that game going, we're a dead set chance to win this. And then they kind of serve up that. But they did have a lot of outs. Like, you couldn't see where their ball movement was going to come from defence, because no Newman, no Simpson.
Mm. Are they the first mob to get ahead of themselves after a loss? They just sort of thought, oh, well, we nearly got Hawthorn.
There's a Melbourne fan in the room, Brody.
Yeah.
But they had beaten the Bulldogs 2 weeks earlier.
That's true, yeah.
So they'd had a couple of weeks in a row where they looked all right. But, mate, like, their fans were ironically clapping them off at halftime. It was horrific to watch.
Yeah, they were as bad as I've seen them play for a while, and that includes, like, what, 300-point drubbings last year.
Correct.
So, and yeah.
My last take from the three games I had to watch at Marvel Stadium is Marvel Stadium is a mausoleum. It is horrific to go there.
It's cold and quiet.
It is. Basically, it is what the Docklands is. As a precinct.
It's a concrete.
It literally is.
It's a
physical manifestation of the Docklands.
As a Melbourne fan, I want to ask you about this next point. It's come out this morning. I think Jay Clark wrote an article about it in the Herald Sun that Stephen May face sanctions from the club for going out and having a few beers on Sunday. Take your media hat off, Eve, as a fan. Are you pissed off at that, or do you think it's fine?
Well, it's not a very good start for someone who's on 800K a year.
You know, at least he can afford the beers.
He's probably got the rounds in, yeah.
I probably should have headed to Richmond on Saturday and have him shout.
Exactly. He's probably the only person in Melbourne where they're in a round and one of their mates is drinking CC and dry and he's not bothered by it.
Yeah, so what do you reckon, though? Like, are you dirty on Stephen May for having 4 pints at a Hawthorn pub on a Sunday watching the footy?
Richmond pub.
Sorry, a Richmond pub.
Well, it's another line in the theme that he needs a real clip around the ears.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. He's come to preseason unfit. He's been injured twice, and now he's, you know, drinking during rehab, which apparently is against Melbourne policy. Yeah. Like, they have a strict no drinking during rehab.
Well, it is. I mean, it is technically a blood thinner alcohol, isn't it? So you can see how it would set rehab back.
Yeah,
that feels a bit sort of pernickety, but it's true.
It's four pints.
Mm.
Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm not.
That's a Friday morning.
Yeah,
it's four pints. So, like, honestly, yeah.
I don't have a problem
with
it.
You have to let these guys live.
Yeah.
If he has four pints on a Sunday and that's all he's had for an entire weekend, which it might have been, I don't think it's a big deal.
I don't mind if Jack Viney does it, because he, you know, he's the ultimate professional. He's going to, you know, do that. He's going to do that and make sense of it.
You can trust him.
You can trust him with it. Stephen, mate, he hasn't got the track record, though.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm sort of with you. I'm sort of like, I've got a foot in both camps on this one. It's a bad look, but I also like, I mean, I'd be a major hypocrite to pot a bloke for drinking four pints on a Sunday, I tell you what.
Exactly. Mm.
That's our pre-podcast meeting.
Yeah, exactly.
It is.
Yeah.
Talking about blokes who, well, at least look like they would eat four pints for breakfast, Ben McAvoy, he started this weird pre-game ritual, Rudy, that I think you and I, we pointed it out a couple of weeks ago, that he's basically cutting out the middleman and is starting games with his head bandage.
He's going the pre head bandage to stop himself getting a nick and copping the blood rule. He must have like really thin skin or just a bunch of scar tissue on that one sort of eyebrow or something. Mm. And he's just he's going, well, I mean, I get cut open every week. I'll just do the pre bandage. I reckon Joel Selwood needs to jump on board that.
He is overtaking Joel Selwood, big boy McAvoy.
Well, he's literally running it like there's that photo of him in the warm up underneath the G where he's actually already got it on with the training kit on.
It is so iconic. It is reaching Chris Rogers' arm guard territory.
It is. Someone said to me the other day that they reckon that Clarko said to him, mate, every time you get cut, you spend a couple of minutes getting bandaged up. Just get the bandage on before, because we can't afford to lose you in the ruck.
Do you reckon it could be a superstition thing because he's been playing so well that he just does it now because he feels comfortable and he's been playing such good footy that he doesn't want to change anything up?
Well, yeah, possibly. Maybe that's why Stephen May's had four pints. He's like, every time I have four pints, Melbourne wins.
You see him at Harlow Bar this weekend. Yeah.
how long before Clarko goes full long sleeves and even outlaws it, though?
Yeah, true.
Or makes everyone mandates it.
Yeah, exactly.
Or mandates it.
I don't think he's changing anything to do with Ben McAvoy. He's on fire at the moment. Behind Brady Gundy, I reckon, is the All-Australian Ruckman. He could actually be the All-Australian Ruckman as well. And if you haven't seen the headband, we're not talking like a little thin, like Nally sort of thing. It's a John Eels-esque full taped head, isn't it?
It's a rugby union front rower head tape up.
Yeah.
It really is.
So
the hair just flowing over the top of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Beautiful.
So after seven rounds of footy, boys, the ladder has started to take shape. St Kilda's dropped down a little bit. Adelaide's found themselves back in the top eight. Geelong are sitting very pretty up top. Not yet. Don't shoot at the hip yet, Rudy. We'll talk about them soon. But I don't know if you boys have just, you know, skimmed past 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe even having a look at 5, 6, 7,
16th.
And maybe who's 8th or 16th and 17th. Cast your eyes to 9th position and you might find a team that's very comfortable sitting there.
A very, might you say, spiritual home for Richmond?
Yes.
Richmond Tigers, 9th. It's a played out gag, but every time I see them with that 9 next to their name, oh, that just makes me smile.
Mm.
Rudy.
I think I saw
it's round 7.
Yeah, they'll probably finish top 4 or something, but you know, you've got to take these wins where you can get them, Heater.
I read a tweet the other day and I was like, with all the confusion in a manic world, you can take solace in the fact that Richmond are sitting 9th on the AFL ladder.
Yeah.
It doesn't get better than that.
There's war in the Korean Peninsula. But Richmond are 9th.
Death, taxes, you know.
This isn't on the rundown, boys, but I want to get your thoughts on it because it's going to be heading to the tribunal tonight, and we are going to be talking about Geelong next. But your quick thoughts on Gaz, the Gary Ablett. First time in 328 games, he's finding himself suspended. I know what your answer is going to be, Rudy, but I'll ask you anyway. Yeah. Does he deserve a week off?
Oh, I mean, it's obviously difficult for me to be objective on this one, but I would have thought a fine would suffice, and I reckon that's probably what will happen at the tribunal.
I reckon it'll be the ultimate power move from Geelong for him to get his suspension overturned and then rest him anyway.
Yes, yeah. I'd absolutely love it if they did that, just to show the AFL, hey, we wear the pants here.
Mm. You don't mess with our guys.
Yeah.
They are going very well, really.
We can't
dance around it any longer.
Yeah.
They had a tough start to the year, and for them to have only dropped one game by under a goal to the Giants at home, they are a genuine contender.
Yeah, it looks that way, doesn't it? It's sort of hard to see them not finishing in the top even two from where they're at now.
They're finishing top.
Hopefully.
Not even Kane Corns can find a negative about them.
Yeah. I've been sort of holding off on really going, you know, saying that they're good because the last couple of years, they've done that thing where they look good during the season and then get trounced, you know, in a couple of finals. But they actually look good. It's hard to really pick a proper... Like, it's hard to really pick how teams are going to get them at the moment.
Just go with it, Rudy.
We are Geelong. Yes, I love it.
Will we be the hearing greatest that team of grand all. Final day?
Maybe.
At least to run out to.
I reckon probably. Although Ethan and I had canvassed, we'd sort of done a little look at the draw, and we've got Geelong playing Richmond in the first week of finals at the MCG. Imagine if
nothing will be more peak Geelong than them going 19-3 this season, which they probably will.
Yeah,
having a final against Richmond at the MCG,
15-7 Richmond. Yeah, they finished 4 games
Richmond.
Yeah, yeah,
without Alex Rance.
Yeah, and then getting done in the first final and
rolling over in a semi and losing a prelim.
Absolutely, the salt.
It is peak Geelong.
The absolute salt you would see from Geelong fans everywhere would. You'd be able to resalt the ocean with it.
It would be the most Geelongest thing to ever Geelong.
It absolutely would. So you've
earned the right to face them at Shell Stadium, and they take it to the MCG.
Yeah, well, because of course they would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Ah, well, you know, it's at least it'll be good content for us.
Yeah. Who else is there about
Shell Stadium? Is that what it's called?
I don't know, GMHBX,
VW.
A, B, C, D, E.
So we're going to go into season predictions, boy. But so you're saying Geelong are going to be up there. You'd have to probably say Collingwood. Who are the other teams? I'll give me the other two teams that will finish in top four.
GWS?
Yes, GWS is one.
They'll be there.
I think for sure. And the other one, I still reckon Richmond are a huge chance.
Right,
just got... They know how to win and they know how to play at the MCG. So,
they're the sort of team that can grind out wins and finish fourth.
Not West Coast?
No, I'm sort of not. I don't think they'll finish top four, no.
Okay.
They're not really impressing me. And they look like it's not
all right, Shania Twain.
All right, so you won the flag. No, the thing about them is they don't just look like they're struggling. They look a bit found out. Like Port Adelaide and Geelong, I thought, really sort of made them look like they've been picked apart a touch.
Port Adelaide's one of those teams that you could throw in the mix.
They could finish top four, yeah.
I don't think you should ride off West Coast. I think they're just going. They're in second gear.
Well, we wrote them off all year last year, and they won the flag. So yeah,
exactly. We can't do it.
So now we rate them, and they won't.
Boys, season predictions. So 7 rounds in, it's basically a third of the way through.
Yep.
We're not going to go all fly wire doors today. We're actually just going to get your season predictions. Are the Brownlow or grand final medalist?
Grand finalists.
Yeah, we'll go with that one.
Just write that one down.
I'll write that one down. And I want to know from both of you, Brownlow and grand finalists.
Okay. For me, grand finalists are Collingwood and Geelong. And Brownlow, I actually reckon Paddy Dangerfield's going to win.
All right.
Massive call, I know.
Well, 9 touches Dangerfield over here.
Okay, righto. So come back to me in late September, Rabs.
Okay.
Grand final, I'm going to go Collingwood and GWS.
I like it.
Mm.
He looked directly in my eyes as he said that.
Stared deep into your soul. And Brownlow, I'm going to go Marcus Bontempelli.
I love it. I'd be so happy to see the Bont win. He's a good Eltham lad from the Green Wedge, and he's just a great footballer.
I've got to give you one at least.
Loves Triple M as well. I think that it will be Collingwood and GWS in the grand final as well. And I did think Bont as well, but we both can't go Bont. So I'm actually going to go one out here. And I'm going to say Scott Pendlebury, still paying $31. He has racked up at least 2 to 3 best ons and probably would have voted in another 2 games. He's
a good shout. He's as good a shout as Paddy Dangerfield at this point, really.
He gets votes.
He's playing as well as he ever has.
Yeah. He's like aged like a fine wine. And after you've said that he's paying 31 of the thousands of listeners to this podcast, we'll jump on him and it's going to come in. So get on quick.
$31. And just quickly, Carlton will finish last after what I saw on the weekend. That means Adelaide will get pick one.
Ooh.
Yeah, but Carlton's got Liam Stocker, so, you know.
Don't rule out Sydney.
Yeah. It could be all right. Sydney are pretty bad as well. And just one last prediction before we do wrap up this podcast is that Jeremy Cameron will win the Coleman by 30 goals.
He'll kick 100 at this point.
He is so far ahead. He's 13 goals ahead already of Jordan Degoe and Tom Lynch. And he's kicking 3 goals a game.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. He'll literally get close to 100. He's a big call for you. Best player in the comp right now, Jeremy Cameron.
Big call, and I don't mind it. Good call to end the podcast on. We'll be back next Tuesday talking round 8. It has been the Triple M Footy Fan Podcast, talking footy like you talk footy. Don't forget, tune in Friday night, Sydney versus Essendon on the M's, and wrapping up Fremantle versus Richmond on the M's on Sunday, and all the games in between. Triple M.